This is Vincent Irene from Blast Furnace Radio. On the phone with us is the famous Marco from the Northland, and it seems like Marco has gone through more of what we're all getting used to now, and we should not be getting used to, and that's the Homeland Security boys. What happened yesterday?
Well, I'll start at the end and then go right to the beginning. But as I was being dragged away, a crowd of 30 to 40 people were just chanting, Homeland Security, Homeland Security, Homeland Security, pointing at what had to be at least 70 cops. And especially the arresting officers, you know, that were dragging me away. I believe I was the only arrest that day. It would have been nice if press was there, because that would have been a really, really cool effect, everyone chanting Homeland Security. Unfortunately, the press was about four blocks down the road watching the motorcade go by. I showed up, and the very first visual I got from my car was a patrol woman videotaping. So I said, I'm going to get my little $10 throwaway Kodak thingy. I'm going to get right up to her, and I'm going to take her photograph of her photographing me, because that always makes a really neat visual. And then I went and joined the crowd and became a protester. And I don't know if he was a private detective or a Secret Service operative at that moment, but a plainclothes detective looking guy followed me from her to the crowd and immediately started harassing me about the camera, why I was taking that picture, what I had against her, what I had against law enforcement, why was I doing that, who am I, what's my name, do I have ID. I told him that I was having every right to photograph her in a public forum if she has every right to photograph me in a public forum. And he asked again for my ID. I told him my name was Mark. That he's going to have to treat me like a jogger unless he's going to formally arrest me, and I'm not showing him my ID at this moment. And he covered his badge, and he walked away. I wasn't even thinking about photographing him yet. And then he ignored me for about a minute, and then demonstratively walked by, giving me a very dirty look, covering his badge again one or two times, and then walked to a few feet off the curb and just stood there staring at me. And I thought and I thought and I thought, and I said, okay, I'm going to pull up my ID. I'm going to put up my other hand so he knows I have no weapon on me. And I walked toward him, and I said, okay, sir, I will show you my ID. You show me your badge. Fair is fair. And he had this confused look on his face. Before I got anywhere near him, he pointed me out to three patrolmen and said, take him across the street and cuff him. And they wrestled me to the ground. They had my face on the pavement. They hadn't cuffed me yet. I suddenly felt this enormous presence above my head that I didn't know what the heck it was, but it was very alarming. So I turned my head a little to the right, and I looked up, and there was this chrome-plated horse's hoof above my head with a patrolman on a horse behind all that. And I wiggled away to my right a few feet to get just as far away from the horse as I could. That horse was shaking. He looked way more terrified than I did. And at some point, I just totally panicked. And I don't know if I tried to run or was trying to get up or what, but then four or five other cops got in behind the other three and just wrestled me right back to the ground. And they got cuffs on me and then tried to interrogate me a little. Just one guy, one detective, who am I, where am I from, what am I doing here, blah, blah, blah. I asked if I was under arrest. They said yes, I was. Nobody ever read me my rights for that entire day. While I was in the wagon waiting to be transported, which seemed to take quite a bit of time, a Secret Service agent identifying himself as a Secret Service agent, showing me his badge. I didn't have a pen, obviously, at that time, and I could not remember his name. I wish I could. He told me, Mark, I'm going to be honest with you. I do not have a warrant for this, and you have every right to tell me no, but I'd like to search your car. If you tell me that, I will tell my bosses that I've searched it and there's no guns, no drugs, no firearms, no paraphernalia, no anything. And the three federal charges we're thinking about layering over your local charges, I'll talk my bosses into dropping them. We would prefer to make this just a Milwaukee thing and not a federal thing, so I'd like you to give me permission if you would. And I looked him in the eye and I said, this goes against my better judgment. I know my rights. I'll give you permission to search the car. You're not going to find a damn thing. All you're going to find is a big poster in my trunk that says, love my country, fear my government. And at this point, I'd prefer that you see that right now anyways. And he could grab my keys out of the other possessions I had that they had taken away from me. And, you know, one patrolman had to be in charge of carrying my book bag and all that. And they're interrogating me about the A symbol on my book bag, which is a Kratz patch that I bought in 92, I believe, the year I got out of the Army and vowed nonviolent overthrow of the United States government for the rest of my life. So I would only tell them that it means nonviolent anarchy, and they didn't know what to do with that. They went off and searched my car, and then they took me to three different jails. The first jail, I guess, was where I was first entered in to the system. I think I was fingerprinted, just my index fingers there. Then they took me to a second jail in another district. I didn't know yet at the time, but the two of the first three arresting officers were out of their precinct, and they were the first ones that jumped me. And they were bicycle cops, and one just happened to be the closest one to me, so when he was given the command, he did it. He had to check with his superior officers if it was all legal or not, and should he dump me on another cop or stay with me through the whole thing. Somebody above him advised him to just go ahead and stay through, and they were going to look into whether that was legit or not. I think it's not, but they might think it's the nicest thing they've ever done to anybody. They took me to the second place where what was going on was they had to get their other stuff before they got back to their precinct. And I have no idea what they mean by their stuff, but they were out of their precinct, and they were joking about how on this second jail cell or jail place, the dispatcher didn't know where I was, and that it was really funny that they didn't tell her because now they don't know where I am. And they're all laughing, and the bicycle cop next to me looked at me, looked at them, looked at me again. I'm sure he had, you know, the look matched up with the horror I was feeling, digesting all that and digesting at the same time everything I'd ever read or seen in a movie about police brutality. And he tried his hardest to assure me that we're only going to be here another 2 minutes or two or so. We're going to where you're going to be in jail. It's okay. We'll be calling her on the way to that place. They'll know where you are. And that gave me, what, 10% assurance or something. I'm just freaking, just sitting here with my handcuffs behind my back. And these are the metal handcuffs, by the way. These are not the plastic zippity doodahs that they've done to me like five or six other times in the past. They get me to the third place. They chose at that point, for some reason, to only give me two municipal tickets, one for $120, one for $160. I guess this is below a misdemeanor and definitely not a felony. But because of truth in sentencing, it's a huge fine. One is disorderly conduct for not getting up on a curb, and one is resisting arrest / obstructing an officer. They processed me for that by formally booking me, which I'm learning now I don't think they were supposed to do. This is supposed to be seen as a ticket, similar to a parking lot.
Give us the context again of your arrest, what city you were in, because for all our listeners.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There was a protest of George Bush coming through. 40 or 50 people were protesting them. There were between 60 and 70 cops of all different precincts. It's all different city, county, state, Secret Service, FBI, all the works. Motorcade went by. They got maybe one block away from us by their chosen logistics.
So you actually were arrested, and you have a trial date coming up and stuff?
Yes, August 5th I have a trial date for these two municipal citations.
Okay.
I was booked. I was, I guess, somebody said when you're booked they have to go to the DA or something. If they did, I have no idea that they went to the DA.
No. Maybe on the phone.
Maybe. Who knows? They have a new machine. They fingerprint like your whole hand, and then your fingers one at a time, and then your fingers again on a roll instead of straight up, and that gets right put into a database immediately.
So it's the whole palm.
What's that?
It's the whole palm. It's the whole hand.
Yeah.
My goodness. Do you think we'd get one of those for the Madison IMC?
You know, it'd be great to put on a press pass, you know, the whole palm just dead, or a nice peace sign, or middle finger, you know, that'd be cool.
Was there any reason why they singled you out?
I took that snapshot of that woman videotaping, and I'm wondering if I accidentally got other footage that must be more monumental than that, because that doesn't seem to me to be more than a mild annoyance to somebody, you know, unless they're using it for bad intentions or something.
And this was in Madison?
No, Milwaukee.
This was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Prince isn't from there, is he?
Prince? No, Minneapolis, I think.
Oh, Minneapolis. There we go. So what is your city famous for?
Mine, where I live, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Point Bay. The Green Bay Packers, we've got cheese. We've got a really cool amusement park. but that's not what everybody's into, I guess. But yeah, the Green Bay Packers.
And what was Bush in town for?
What the heck was his speech? It was to do with healthcare, I think, or something. He was going to spend, I think, 20 minutes giving a speech. I think his speech ended up an apology about that, all those civilian dead that we caused in Afghanistan a couple days ago. That took over the whole.
He actually apologized?
Hard to say. That's what the press is saying, that he said sorry. I haven't heard his speech yet.
But he did say something about it.
Yeah, it's regrettable that people died or something. Whatever. I shouldn't quote, like, badly paraphrased. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll tell you, this Homeland Security thing, when we attempted to cross the border to get into Canada to go to the Ottawa IMC and the uprising against G8 and the squad that was just raided this morning there, it was really something. They really thought that they had Sodom's son and grandson and just were taking the crowbars to our hubcaps and asking us a lot of questions, and it was really, really something. And I just, you know, would beg our listeners and our friends, you know, not to get used to this and not to put up with it. And as the day draws nigh, you'll obviously know more about your hearing if they don't drop the charges, and hope that you'll call us back to let us know what's going on.
Okay, there is some more if you want to know some more.
I definitely want to know everything.
I can tell you right now. This is the first time I've been arrested that I have actually feared for my life. Other times, like, okay, I'll be in a day or two, I'll be in an hour or two, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what are you doing with me? Where are you taking me? What's this? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. It feels like a whole new set of rules, a whole new ball game, a whole new playing field. It does not resemble any kind of paradigm I had in 1997, 1999, even 2001 early on. It does not even closely resemble any of that, or, you know, when I was a kid. You kind of knew how you could interact with a cop. You kind of knew how you could interact with a state trooper. You know, you're allowed to flip them off three times. The fourth time you're going to jail, whatever. That's all out the window now. It's a whole new thing. I don't understand it. I hope to God all these attorneys are keeping themselves up to speed and learning quickly. After they gave me these citations, where I'm told that's the moment they should have released me immediately, they held me for about another hour in this third and final cell. They said, you'll be out probably in another hour or two. Don't worry about blah, blah, blah. A cop comes to the bullpen door, says, come with me. We have this detective that wants to ask you questions. I don't know what it is. I think it's about your arrest. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. And they take me to a room, introduce me to this one local detective, and he interrogates me for 2.5 hours before releasing me.
2.5 hours? What were they asking?
2.5 hours. I'll get to that in a second. Oh, my God. He starts with a white lie and tells me that they're rerunning all your fingerprints. I know I've physically seen your valid driver's license. It appears valid. But nowadays, with everything high-tech, you could have easily paid the mafia $400 and gotten a fake, complete identity. So we're researching the whole thing. It'll take an hour or two. If you gave us the wrong name, whatever, you might be held longer. It looks like you'll be released in an hour or two. While we're waiting for that, I just figured rather than keep you in the bullpen there, you know, with four other prisoners unrelated to your event, I would just sit and hang out with you for a little while and ask you some questions. Is that okay? And I'm like, I guess, fine. You know, you guys never even read me my rights, so here we are. I kept trying my hardest to bring him back to the topic of how much I love being an indie media reporter and how effective we are in our transparency and that we are a true alternative to the corporate media and that I think the School of the Americas needs to be closed down. He kept bringing me back to, do I know any nonviolent black blocs? Do I know any violent black blocs? Do I know the difference? Can I help him here? It's not an evil thing. He just wants to know when he goes to these protests, is there a quick way you can tell if a black bloc anarchist is going to be one of the violent ones? Do they have different clothing? Do they have a different way of talking? Do they have this or that?
Oh my God! Do they ask you about the
all that or not, or if they're vibrating violently or being furtive? It's kind of the same as any human being, you know, and maybe even the same with any patrolman. And he's like, "Well, do you know any black bloc people?" I'm like, you know, I'm choosing to not have a lawyer here. I'm not answering that.
Did they ask you if there were any black bloc comedians?
No, we should have gone down that path. We definitely did not. He asked if I think there's a black bloc presence in Milwaukee. I said, if there is, I probably don't know it. And he just went on and on and on, asking a ton of questions, what I like about music, why I'm a musician, what's that A symbol, I think I told you about that part or whatever. When the Secret Service people searched my car, they found a CD with a green thing and that yellow record lifter thing for 45 that says Mark's homemade CD.
Sure.
WWE, free speech org, $5 donation if you can, blah, blah, blah. They found four copies in my glove compartment. I tend to just give them away places where I'm at. And he had my little sticker of my Do You Download and some of my MP3s. And he was very, very determined to find out what that was all about. And interestingly, I had never thought of this wrinkle because of the word CD.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to know if this was an audio CD or a CD-ROM. Was it spoken word or music? Does the CD mean civil disobedience? And I went, whoa, homemade CD.
Yeah, you should have told him it meant a homemade certified deposit.
There you go. Yeah, or just, I was going to tell him it's the organic growth of civil disobedience where eventually we all do it.
It's such dumb stuff. I mean, over and over and over again, trying to find the, the smoking gun. And who in the hell wants to wear black clothes in the middle of this burning summer?
I don't know.
Maybe we should start the white block so that we don't get so hot when we're protesting. Not referring to our skin color. I don't have to.
Black in the winter, white
right,
in the summer.
That's right. I think
and it was just he interrogated and interrogated and interrogated. Wanted to know what groups I thought were at that protest that day. And I said,
oh, my goodness. Well, that's his job to collect that information.
Now here's the part that creeped me the hell out, because I got my camera back. I got it developed. I got my picture of this patrol woman that, I haven't scanned it yet, but I'm going to put it on the net. How I got it back is I dropped it to the ground. I kicked it to the gutter, and just general crowd, I just trusted someone's going to grab it and either develop it for me or get it back to me somehow or someday or whatever. It'll probably just end up on the net. Two cops jumped off of me immediately and ran toward the camera. It had disappeared by then. I saw who picked it up, but that's beside the point.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's something like Bruce Willis would do.
Oh, this is great. I mean, this is like that Salvador movie where the guy had the footage in his I probably shouldn't say this because it could still be done. so Buck Knight, pull off the heel. Here it is. I got this Black Hawk helicopter. Anyways, I kicked it over there. These two cops just start immediately barking, get that back to us. Where is that camera? Who has that camera? You will return that camera or you will be arrested. I will arrest every one of you if I have to. Get that camera. And they freaked. They were freaking still as they were dragging me away.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Listen, we're going to have to fade away here. This is our little July 4th Eve story again of the Homeland Security boys and people not looking for communists, but looking for the black bloc and looking for evidence of such things as taking photographs during protests. So tomorrow, kick back all day on the Sci-Fi Channel will be the Twilight Zone, all day, 24 hours. And throw a few flags on the grill, and we give a big Pittsburgh Blast Furnace salute to Marco. Marco, call again. And if you're looking for Marco, or if you want to be Mrs. Marco, you can hit irc.indymedia.org, and he's in the Channel Indy, and his nickname is?
Zapatista.
Okay, brother.
Hey, Vincent, have a good one.
Okay.
Later.